Well, should we pray? Let's turn our Bibles to Mark chapter 6, page 1008, and I'll just pray for us, and then we'll have a look at that together this morning. Father, thank you that you are a great God, you are worthy of praise, and you're a God who is not silent, but you speak through your Spirit by your word. Come, we pray, and touch our hearts and encourage us to follow Christ or to know Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Fantastic. Well, imagine the scene. The lights go down and in comes the birthday cake with the candles flickering and everybody bursts into song and they sing happy birthday to you. It's always a winning moment, isn't it, in any birthday party. But it's quite a different ending to King Herod's party, isn't it? The great finale. No cake, no flickering candle, but the head of a faithful, holy preacher of God brought in to finish the party off. I mean, that is hideous, isn't it? It's like an ISIS-style beheading. Now, that is a party you would not forget. King Herod is distressed. It's not what he wanted to happen, but his wife and his daughter are delighted. They are elated. They are so pleased. At last, they shut the preacher up. They've chopped his head off. That's what they wanted. And I guess the party guests were totally, totally horrified. An unforgettable party. A gory end to the story. Now, why on earth has Mark, the gospel writer, records these historical events for us, put it here in this part of the story? Why is John's beheading just here? I ducked it last week because it's an all-age service and there are kids at the front, but they're still here, but never mind. Why is this bit of the passage here? Well, if you were here a couple of weeks ago, Matt, my curate, he did an amazing job when I was gone, was preaching on the first chunk. And he said that they can be summed up with this phrase, that loyalty to Jesus' kingdom is costly. Following Christ, following his kingdom, can be costly. It can be difficult. It can be tough. And so he showed us in the opening verses of chapter 6 how even Jesus, when he went to his hometown, he's belittled and ridiculed. He's not met with faith. He was met with mockery. Who is this guy? Who do you think he is? His hometown rejected him. And then he sent out his disciples on a mission and he tells them it's going to be materially difficult. Don't take anything comfortable with you, verse 8 and 9. And actually, when you get to the place where you preach the gospel, expect it to be really tough. Expect people to reject you. So there's Mark putting these stories together for us to show us that actually faithfulness to the kingdom of God, faithfulness to following Christ will be costly. In our passage today, we see that it could cost your very life. It could cost you everything. That's true for John the Baptist, isn't it? He pays the ultimate price for speaking God's word and truth. It can cost you everything. And in fact, his death, the death of John the Baptist, foreshadows what will happen to his cousin Jesus. You see, both are put to death by political leaders who recognize that they're innocent, but they bow to public pressure, they give in, they're weak, and they hand these innocent men over to death. But this morning, before we give Herod a hard time for what he did, who of us has never felt the pressure to prefer the ease of life, to fear losing face more than doing what is right? It is a massive pressure that we all face if we're Christians today. I mean, who of us in some way cannot relate to the pressure Herod feels to keep his wife happy, to keep the status quo, not to lose face with all his guests he makes his massive promise to? I mean, who doesn't hate admitting they're wrong? I hate it. The thought of disappointing your family or friends. Who wouldn't hate that? Who wouldn't hate feeling weak or going back on our words publicly? We'd hate the thought. So from a child, we always say, it wasn't me. I didn't do it. We hate being accused. The man says to the child with the cricket bat, who hit the dog with a cricket bat? He said, it wasn't me. But even if I did, nothing wrong with that. And yet we all have, don't we, deep down in our hearts and our minds, a conscience, a sense of conviction, a Our conscience is pricked. We did not do the right thing. When it came to it, we did not stand up or speak up as we should have done. And I can feel us living very empty and gutted. And yet here's John the Baptist. He's utterly fearless, isn't he? He's fearless. He's gone to tell Herod, this powerful figure, that actually what he's doing in his marriage is wrong. That's gutsy, isn't it? You see, God cares about what happens behind closed doors. He does. He's a holy God. He calls us to live in a certain way. And so John says, verse 18, to Herod, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. You see, Herod's brother Philip was still alive. And Herod fancied his wife, Herodias. She was lovely. And he had to have her. He lusted after her. He had to have this woman. So he took her off his brother. And he married her. He did things his way. That's what sin is at heart, isn't it? Doing things our own way, deciding what is right and what is wrong. And John, you see, has been preaching a message of repentance and faith. We saw that back in chapter 1. Back in chapter 1, he preaches, get ready for Jesus' coming, repent and believe the gospel. And clearly he's applied that to King Herod. He said, Herod, for you to repent truly and follow in the way of the Lord, you've got to sort out your living arrangements. They're just not right. He spelt it out. He's fearless. What a brave man. I'd hate to do that. And Herod kind of lives with it. He doesn't like it. And his wife certainly can't stand it. And we're told that she just wants John removed. Kill him. You've got the power. Just kill him. I don't like what he's saying. Get rid of him. Silence the man. So we should never be surprised when people hate God's truth and his ways. See, now Herod might not have liked John the Baptist. He's kind of a guy who kind of respected him. He had a conscience, and he clearly recognized that this man was special. Verse 20, he describes John as being righteous and holy. He respected and feared King Herod. And he calls him to come away from his pet sin. And yet Herod doesn't want him killed. He's fearfully superstitious, I think. But his wife wants him dead. What does he do? He finds a compromise. He keeps his wife happy. He locks him up. You see, for John the Baptist, loyalty to the kingdom of God was costly. I guess we're not naive. We know that loyalty to the kingdom of God for many people around the world is costly. Is anyone here ready for this morning as you had your breakfast? People at the camp in Calais being interviewed from Eritrea, who built a shack as a church. Christians fleeing their home countries because they've been persecuted. An Eritrean man was interviewed. He said, why have you got burn marks all over your feet and over your body? He said, because I'm a Christian. I would not turn away from Christ. And so he's fled his country. He's looking for haven and help. He's joined his family in this country or here already because persecution for Christians is so tough. But he would not turn. He took the burn marks on his feet. And the message that Mark brings us today is utterly relevant. Loyalty to the kingdom of God is costly. Amazingly though, Herod is still intrigued, isn't he? He's fascinated by John. He wants to listen to him. He listens to him. Fascinating. A bit like my school physics teacher, Miss Lloyd. She was fascinating but puzzling. Didn't quite know what she was going on about. Well, there's Herod listening to John the Baptist. He'll call him in, listens to him, sends him back into prison. The sad situation is this for King Herod. Just think about it. He's so close to the message that brings forgiveness, that brings pardon, that brings a new start, that brings reconciliation with God, that brings eternal sure hope. He's so close to it, and yet he can't act on it. He won't own it. He'll listen. That's as far as it will go. He's unwilling to count the cost and to turn to Christ. And that's a great danger for all of us today, isn't it? For any Christian or any person who goes to church, we can be close to the truth of Jesus and yet never accept it into our lives personally. Never allow it to change us. Never allow faith take root. We keep it at a distance. We fear God. We serve. We respect other Christians. And yet we never grasp hold of the gospel. and the Word. We may never know the joy of forgiveness. I think how it serves as a warning that we can be so close to the truth, intrigued by the truth, and yet never ever grasp it. And never grab the chance of knowing Christ and the hope he brings. Well, in spite of Herod trying to protect John the Baptist, Herodias gets her moment. It's the big birthday party, isn't it? This is a chance if she gets it to kill off John the Baptist. And of course, her daughter comes in, does an amazing dance. Everyone's impressed. Herod is a fool. He says, look, I'll give you whatever you want. Typical male, bragging, boasting, showing off his wealth and his power. Look, I'll give you up to half the kingdom, he says. Ask what you like. And off she goes. He says, Mum, what should I ask for? And she knows what to say. I want the head of John the Baptist. The head of John the Baptist. This is crunch time, verse 26. There he is. He could say no. He could have said no. He could have done what he knew was right. But he's under immense pressure. Look, Mark's described it for us brilliantly. Verse 26. The king was greatly distressed. Of course he was. He knew what he should have done. He should have said, no way. No way. Forget my oath. Forget what I said. No way. You're not having him. But look, we see inside his mind and his heart. Verse 26, the king was greatly distressed, but because of his oaths and his dinner guests, he did not want to refuse her. So, in a split second, he immediately sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. The man went and beheaded John in the prison and brought back his head on a dish. He presented it to the girl. She gave it to her mother. Job done. Herodias was delighted. And I guess Herod was utterly distraught and perplexed and gutted by what he'd done. He chose to maintain his public persona and his status. He chose the wrong thing. The fear of man, the fear of seeming a weak leader who changes his mind, gripped him. He was worried what others would think. In a split second, he gives the command for an innocent man to be killed. Not a happy end to the party for Herod, was it? And no wonder the guy's jiggered. No wonder he's spooked. Look at the beginning of the passage, verse 14 and 15, as reports come in about Jesus, and people are trying to work out who Jesus is. Some are saying he's John the Baptist. Some are saying he's Elijah. Some are saying he's a prophet from the dead. He suddenly panics, King Herod. He thinks, goodness me. Verse 16, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised from the dead. He's come back to get me. He's totally spooked out. He's clearly battling with his conscience. He's worried about it. And there is no relief for him. The reality was that it wasn't John the Baptist who'd come back from the dead. It was Jesus, the Lord, the King, who will come back one day to judge the living and the dead. You see, Herod was left with fear. Fear. But actually, Jesus has come to deal with all our fears and our failures and our mistakes and our regrets. He came to pay for them on the cross, and we can turn to him and know relief and forgiveness. You see, one day he will come back to judge. We say that in our creed. He'll come back to judge the living and the dead. And when he comes to judge, people will face him and have to respond to whether they rejected or accepted him. As one hymn writer puts it, they'll face the fear of hell or the hope of heaven, depending on how they responded to Christ. You see, this message of repentance and faith that John preached, that Jesus preached, that the church is called to preach, is utterly relevant, totally relevant today. Repent. Turn to the Lord, knows forgiveness and grace that he died to give you. Come to know him and be ready for his return. Maybe you're not sure you've ever done that. Maybe you've gone to church for years and you've been this close to the message but never responded. I handed out a load of leaflets this week called Me a Christian. Grab one. It explains what a real Christian is. Take them for a friend. Take them for yourself. They're all over the foyer today. But what is the application for us today if we know and follow Christ in this passage? Well, it's a reminder, isn't it, that Matt gave us 2 weeks ago. Loyalty to Jesus, to God's kingdom and truth and gospel, will be costly. In our culture right now, we're pretty free to live. Praise God, it's a great place to be a Christian. But actually, will we stand up for truth? Will we contend for truth? Will we lose face? Will we stand up for things that are not popular in our society? You see, what we prayed for Dylan earlier is a great prayer to pray for each other. Let me read it to you. Fight bravely under his banner against sin, the world and the devil, and continue Christ's faithful soul to the end of your life. That's our longing for Dylan, that he would come to faith and he would fight bravely. It's not going to be easy. That's what we pray for Nick and Sam and the kids. Fight bravely under his banner against sin, the world and the devil, and continue Christ's faithful soldier to the end in your new post. That's what we say for each other. Fight bravely. Contend under his banner. Follow Christ, because actually loyalty to Christ will not be easy. We'll be tempted just to give in and say nothing and be quiet. Unless we're called to stand loyally for Christ, just as our brothers and sisters around the world are doing, facing horrific ends, facing beheadings, imprisonments, torture. Will we stand? Will we speak up for truth in our wonderful free society? Let me just pray. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for this amazing story. We think of countless people around the world who are struggling, following you. We pray you'd help them to know your peace and your presence and your grace and your strength. And Father, we pray you'd forgive us for the many times we've not stood up for truth, when we've done the wrong thing to be popular. Forgive us when we fear men and are more concerned about their applause than pleasing you. Help us to be willing to face misunderstanding or rejection or persecution for the truth. Help us because we feel utterly weak and we need your grace and your power. Help us, Father God, all to fight bravely under your banner against sin, the world and the devil, and to continue Christ's faithful soldiers to the end of our lives. Amen. Well, the way that we keep going as Christians is we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus Christ. And our next and final hymn is a wonderful old hymn, Be Thou My Vision, O Lord of My Heart. During this take of our morning offering is for our regular members to give to the work of the church. If you're not a regular or a visitor, feel free to let the bags go by. But we stand to sing, and then I'll finish the service with a prayer. Thank you.
Man's empty praise, thou my. heaven when battle is done. Grant heaven's joy to me, bright heaven's sun. Christ, now of my own heart, whatever before, still be my vision, thou
remain standing for a final prayer. So our